Did you receive assistance from the government in living at that time?
Welfare. I do remember welfare, and I remember that every year we would get a voucher, and there were two stores in my hometown that took the vouchers. That meant that I was able to get the equivalent of one pair of jeans, some shirts, and socks. I got meager clothing with the vouchers. Oh, painful memories when I think about this. Those things had to last me for a full year. Impossible. By the middle of the first half of the academic year, my shoes had holes in them. My socks had holes in them where the shoes had holes in them. My shirts were worn out. My shorts were grungy. I was a mess. My mother made the best of it. My mother was a very good seamstress. She did all that she could to patch my shirts and my pants, but she couldn't take care of my shoes. There was nothing that she could do about the holes in the shoes, so I decided that I would put cardboard and paper and newspapers in it to keep the snow and the rain out. Very futile activity.
Then you were going to school. You were in first grade?
Yes. I was in the equivalent of special education. They didn't call it special education then, but we were called dummies.
Why?
Teacher said that we were not going anyplace.
So this was a white school that you were attending?
All of my teachers, from elementary school through 4 years of college, were white. So the good, the bad, and the ugly were white. Well, I lived in a predominantly black neighborhood in my elementary and secondary school years, but my teachers were white. Now, in those days, you have to remember that being a teacher was a very good job. It was a well-respected job and a high-paying job, in fact, by comparative standards.
So because you were black, she considered you a dummy?
Several teachers considered those in my room a dummy. There were some other teachers who did not, however, and they were the ones who rescued me, who saved me.
Some teachers then gave up on you.
One teacher, as I wrote in my book, told my mother that I was a no-learner, that I wasn't going to learn anything anyway. And she told my mother the best thing that could happen to me would be to drop out of school as soon as I could, get a factory job, and earn a living that way.
Do you recall, as a student then, did you enjoy school?
No, it was not a very pleasant time for me initially. I didn't learn to read. And every child had to read. No matter what class you were in, you had to read. And trying to read publicly or pretend to read publicly was embarrassing. I was ridiculed by my classmates. And the teachers, for some reason, would always ask me to read first, knowing that I could not read. So my other classmates, most of them who couldn't read themselves, were spared the embarrassment. So at one point, I just stopped responding. I shut down completely.
During your first year in school?
During the first three years.
First three years. So when do you think you started to really learn how to read?
At the end of third grade.
But they promoted you.
Oh, yes. After all, you can't keep all of these kids back because you've got another group coming through. So you just push them on.
So you went through the second grade and couldn't read?
That's right. It was only midway through the third grade where a teacher found me as she described the situation. And you know, I don't remember her name, but I do remember conversations with her. And thank goodness for the teacher. I gave her lots of reasons why I couldn't read. She said, George, I can't do anything about you being a Negro. I can't do anything about you being poor. I can't do anything about where you live. But I can do something about your education in this room. And she said, you're not going to be that pity poor me, the Negro. I'm not falling for that. I will provide you with remedial education. I'll come in early in the morning. I'll stay after school. And you will learn if you want to learn. She called a meeting with my mother. And she explained to my mother what she was going to do. My mother agreed. She sent me to school early. 15-20 minutes early to be tutored, and my mother understood that I would sometimes, and most of the time, I would stay late with this teacher. And I learned. Oh, did I learn.
You enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it. You spend all of those years pretending to read or detesting reading, and now suddenly you're looking at the words and they're making sense. I, for the first time, was alive educationally. Not only was I alive educationally, but there was a potential there that I didn't realize that I had. This teacher knew it. If I may, I'd like to tell you how she described herself. She came to my high school graduation, and she pulled me aside. She says, "George, I'm so proud of you." She said, "I'm a minor, M-I-N-E-R, and I know that buried in schools like ours are some educational gems like you. My job is to find you, dig you out, dust off the ignorance and the illiteracy, and polish you and let you shine." And she did it. She absolutely did it. I remember she sat behind me at graduation, and she was humming, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." And oh my goodness, she did. She absolutely did. I'm glad that minor found me.
What was the name of the high school you graduated
in? Washington High School in East Chicago, Indiana.
The year would have been?
1950.
Your high school experience, was that good for you?
High school experience was very good for me. When I moved from the equivalent of special education, by the time that I graduated from high school, I was a member of the National Honor Society. The potential was there. That teacher passed me on to other teachers. It was as if I was their project of the decade, it seemed like. One teacher after another worked with me. No excuses, however. The only rule, major rule, no excuses. Do the work. If you do the work, you'll get the grades. If you don't, you will not. I understood that. I appreciated that. They set the boundaries.
You probably remember the moment then when you walked across the stage to get your diploma.
Oh, do I ever.
It must have been a big uproar.
First person in your family, mother's side, father's side, to graduate from high school, that was quite an accomplishment.
Yeah. Were you involved in sports?
I was on the East Chicago, Washington high school track team. I was billed as the fastest kid in high school. I ran the sprints, 100 to 220 yards. Didn't do meters then. We did yards. But I want to tell you why I call myself the second fastest kid in East Chicago. After one track meet, I was feeling really full of myself, and I had my medals for winning the 100-yard dash and the 220-yard run, and I'd anchored the winning relay team. And Naomi, a girl named Naomi, I don't remember her last name, Naomi said, "George Henderson, fastest kid in East Chicago, huh?" I said, "You better believe it, babe." She said, "Let's have a race and see who really is the fastest." I said, "I don't want to embarrass you." She says, "Oh, come on." I said, "Okay, if this will shut you up, I'm going to beat you. Will this be the end of it?" She says, "Yes." I said, "How far do you want to run?" She gave me a distance. She said, "Now, you can even tell us when to go. On your mark, get set." And I cheated. I said, "Go," and I had two steps on her. One quarter of the way through, she was about four steps behind me. Halfway, she was about one step behind me. Three quarters of the way, she was even with me, and I stopped running. I said, "I don't want to embarrass you anymore." She says, "Now we both know, don't we?" And we did. That was my first realization what sexism did for the males and did not do for the females. Naomi was faster than I was, by both of our knowledge.
Was she on the track team?
No, there were no track teams for girls then.
And then it was embarrassing to you that a female beat you.
Yes, but she kept that secret. I was embarrassed. I kind of wished that she had indeed told at least one other person. Because of my running ability, I was able to escape an awful lot of physical abuse. All of us belonged to a gang of some kind. And there was a lot of fighting, and sometimes we didn't do so well in Mortal Kombat, as we referred to it. It wasn't really. But I could outrun everybody. Well, I won lots of medals, and it was track that got me to Michigan State Agricultural and Mechanical College in 1950.